Welcome to LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk. Ray Brewer, Case Kiefer, another Monday afternoon, chatting it out like we do every Monday. Also, the show on the website, LasVegasSun.com. They drop it on for us as soon as the show's over. So if you're listening to the Fightcasters on LasVegasSun.com, join us every Mondays on KUNV 91.5 in Vegas. Also, KUNV.com. Apparently, you might be able to see us every 10 seconds. We wave because my family's watching. Case, it's all fighting today. UFC 129, you were there. 55,000 people. I saw the photo. Pretty awesome, brother. What stands out for me a day after, brother?
I got some more photos to show you that I know I haven't yet that are pretty interesting. I mean, it was really an event that lived up to the hype and probably surpassed it. For an exclusive story, I haven't really told people. I mean, how cool the thing was, you know, our listeners might not know, but you know, as a media member, when you go check in at one of these places, you're usually at the bottom, like kind of in the bowels of the arena. Well, so at the Rogers Center, you know, used to be known as the Sky Dome, 55,000 people. You check in, they kind of walk you through the back, take you up the elevator. You walk by a lot of Joe Carter and Cito Gaston memorabilia, but I won't get off topic. They take you to the football press box. And literally, I was sitting in there. Everyone that walked in, they take you into this press box, and you just see the spectacle. And everyone just said, wow. It was just so amazing how huge this place was. And the UFC, I mean, they had, I think, like, I can't remember the exact number, either six or eight just gigantic screens that are bigger than almost any screens in America on every side. They had double the amount of speakers that AC/DC used when they played there. So really, these people would walk into the football media box, which overlooks this whole thing, and everyone was just saying, wow. And obviously, it only got more kind of amazing when the fans filled in. I mean, it was just really kind of an unbelievable experience and something crazy, especially when you think like Randy Couture was kind of the main guy on this card after he announced his retirement. We were just talking earlier in the week how his first UFC fight was in Augusta, Georgia, in front of 1,500 people, where the people in the stands, there are more fights in the stands. People were just, you know, kind of drunk and wanted violence. And now to come to this where it's 55,000 people mainstream in Canada, it's kind of amazing.
Is that where the CFL team plays? Not to get off topic.
You know, I really wondered that, and I'm not sure if they do play at the Rogers Center, which I don't think they do. There was nothing there about them. I mean, there's a lot of Blue Jays stuff, even some Bills stuff. No CFL mention, although a CFL team did sponsor Mark Hominick, who's in the co-main event.
What's your favorite AC/DC song? Not to get off topic.
None.
You don't like AC/DC?
I can't stand AC/DC.
No way. Steve, do you like AC/DC? No way. Do you know the song Thunderstruck, which is probably the only one I know? The earth was quaking. Her boots were shaking. Shook me all night long.
That's not even the right song.
But no, it's
right.
Not. Is that AC/DC?
That is AC/DC, but okay. It's not the right song.
But that's not Thunderstruck? Oh, I love that then. That's their best song. There's two. What's the Thunderstruck one go like?
I don't want to sing it.
Thunderstruck. Anyways, at one time when I was in high school, we went to the lake and that Shook Me Night All Night Long on song was on. It was beautiful. Just like UFC 129, not to get off topic. But we talked, obviously, all week. Randy Couture, Las Vegas' own, 47 years old, going back into the ring. And probably career doesn't end like he wants to. A swift kick to the face and lights out city. But I think what, for me, stood out was that he got up and he was joking, and everybody gave him such a big round of applause, kind of an appreciation. And I know that's not, losing isn't the way he wanted to go out, Case, but he handled it with such great class and dignity. And if all persons who retired from their sport did it in that way, I think you'd have better memories of him.
Yeah, he lost a tooth with the kick, and it was really kind of cool to see him get that response. I mean, the whole place was going crazy. It was something Dana White said afterwards in the press conference. It gave him chills because he said, look, Couture's a legend for this sport, but he hasn't gotten quite the recognition that Dana thinks he should have. Dana compared it to when George Foreman was the same age as Randy Couture when he came back and beat Michael Moore, and it was such a huge deal. He was on the Today Show, the Tonight Show, the Afternoon Show, every magazine cover. And I mean, I guess that just speaks to boxing being more mainstream at the time, but Dana was saying, look, what Randy has done easily equals what Foreman did, and he hasn't got that kind of respect. He hasn't really gotten that kind of attention. So it was really cool to see the aftermath of this, just, you know, getting 55,000 people standing up chanting Randy, and you know, even without a tooth, he was in pretty good spirits.
And I just love how the Canadian crowd just really loves MMA. You were saying right behind hockey, it's their biggest sport. Is there a reason why? Is it, do they just like combat sports or mixed martial arts, or is it, did they like it before it became popular? I mean, what is it about MMA in Canada that mashed so well? And I guess more importantly, they got to go back there soon, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, they'll definitely be. Well, they'll be in Vancouver, of course, in June, which will be there on LasVegasSun.com. But this is a great mystery. I mean, you're asking great questions today. You're just really on your A game, Ray Brewer.
ACDC does that to me, baby. You know that.
A couple people asked Dana about this week, and even Dana White, the UFC president, said he just can't believe it. When they bought UFC, his parent company with the Fertitta Zuffa, when they bought it 10 years ago, they thought their markets, of course, were first America and second Mexico and the UK, because that's where boxing was huge. They thought it'd be the same boxing crowd. Boxing never was really that big in Canada. So this thing just exploded out of nowhere, and no one really has any explanation for it. And it's by far, it's the mecca of mixed martial arts is what people are calling it now. It's by far the biggest MMA market, and it kind of came out of nowhere. I think George St. Pierre had something to do with it, but you can't give it all to him. Of course, George St. Pierre was kind of the headliner of this event. In the main event, beat Jake Shields by unanimous decision. And of course, you know, Canadians have really connected to him. He's from Montreal. And he's been a big reason it's gotten so big, but I don't think that's the only one. I don't know. There's just something about MMA that Canadian fans have just really gravitated towards.
And I guess what, you know, obviously just watching from home and the energy, and you were right with the loudspeakers. It was just electric from start to finish. And, you know, the thing I like about UFC is that there was 10 fights on the card. And you
12.
Could 12 fights? Even better. But you could watch the fights on, like, Spike and Facebook and... You know, I think they almost crashed Facebook with people watching the free fights, and everybody wants to get a crack at it. And you know, the sport is obviously blowing up, and people love it, and they're, you know, they're and you just saw it in Canada. It was more, in my opinion, a celebration of MMA than Randy Couture's farewell bout. And obviously, cool that he was part of it, but I think just a celebration of MMA. And you know, George St. Pierre, I don't know what's left for the guy to prove. He wins every time out there. Might not be flashy. Sure in the hell wasn't flashy Saturday. But I guess the guy's unbeatable. Is there – I mean, is he ever going to lose again? What's left to prove? Could he doesn't want – it doesn't look like he wants to even go up in weight class.
Yeah, it doesn't look like he wants to go up. I think there might have been a little bit more pressure to go up if he just would have destroyed Jake Shields. That didn't happen. It was – You know, I think he won every round. I had it 50-45. He didn't dominate. Two other judges had it 48-47, but I'm pretty sure he won all five rounds, at least four out of five. I don't see how you can give him only three. So I don't think he's going to go up to 185 right away and face Anderson Silva. I know that's a fight everyone's been talking about, but I'm going to tell you, there's a fight I want to see more, and I think at this point Dana White wants to see it more. I think George St. Pierre wants to do it more, and that's because they own Strikeforce now. They are going to offer Nick Diaz a ton of money to put his boxing career on hold. He's the Strikeforce welterweight champion. He's saying he wants to go box, which I think would be ridiculous because he's at the top of his game in MMA. I think Nick Diaz is going to come over and be the first Strikeforce guy to be in UFC. I think he's going to fight George St. Pierre, and I think it's going to be an absolute war. If this happens by the end of the year, this is the number one fight I want to see, because we all know how talented George St. Pierre is, but he's really been fighting safe kind of for the last few years. He knows that he doesn't have to go out and, you know, go crazy and knock guys out. He knows he's so much better than everyone. He can play it safe and still win a unanimous decision every time. Well, Nick Diaz, although not as talented as GSP, is not going to let him do that. I mean, this guy is just, he's going to come out, talk trash to him, yell at him, say things that we can't repeat on this radio show, and then just attack him. He's going to make George St. Pierre fight, and I think that's what's next for George St. Pierre, to answer your question. I think that, you know, maybe people don't know about Nick Diaz as much if they only watch the UFC, but that's just going to be a fight of the year candidate, and it hasn't even happened yet.
And I know, you know, obviously, if the Diaz thing doesn't happen, there were rumors last week that you said he could possibly go up and weight, but then he'd have to put on 20 pounds, maybe even more, because you don't want to be right at that weight. You want to be heavier and then cut down. And if I were him, I wouldn't want to do that either. It's tough to put on muscle and to, yeah, I don't want to compare it to UNLV, but we're on the UNLV station. Wink Adams put all that muscle on for his basketball senior season a few years ago. He couldn't shoot anymore. And I know you get bigger and stronger, but would it change the way he approaches fighting and his style in the ring? Because he probably wouldn't be as quicker with that extra muscle on. And, you know, just, you know, learning how to fight in a new body, would you want to fight the big guy right away? Or you might want to get used to it by fighting, you know, a few tomato cans.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. I think that's a lot of his hesitation. the whole thing that what everyone wants to see, and probably will happen eventually, but I think Diaz is coming next, is he would move up to 185 and fight Anderson Silva. But I think what you're saying is a good point. He would have to put on a lot more weight. This guy, St. Pierre, weight cuts about 20 to 25 pounds the week of a fight. So he's saying if he's going to fight at 185, he needs to go up to about 205, 210 as his walking weight. And because he's George St. Pierre, you can't let him go up to middleweight. And because of the way MMA is, it's not like boxing. They're going to throw some stiff at him the first two times. If he goes to 185, he's fighting Anderson Silva right away. Do you really want to be going up in weight class, in a new weight class, and fighting what everyone says is the best guy in the world, the only guy in the world you would be an underdog against? I think that's where he's hesitant. And some hardcore fans are really saying, oh, you know, why is GSP not, you know, kind of wussing out of this fight? Well, he's not. It's just that, I mean, that's a lot to ask to go up and see the best guy in the world at his weight class. It's just a hard thing to do.
Here's my question as a guy who's probably about 15 pounds overweight. How did they cut that weight?
Well,
and why isn't it sold? Like, what do they do? Do they sit in a sauna? Do they not eat? Do they? How do you cut weight?
They eat very little, and they pretty much take off all their water weight. So by the time they weigh in, they're totally dehydrated, and the next 24 hours they can eat. You know, I mean, they're obviously not going to go out and eat at CC's or something, but but you know that they'll eat a normal meal. They'll put on all the water weight back. It's really just about cutting water weight. It's not about you're not losing real weight. You go sweat out all your water and you make weight, and then you put it back on. I bet George St. Pierre is fighting at probably 180, probably a little bit more than 185, and he weighed in at 170 Friday.
That's the one thing that amazes me, and not to get off topic again, but. You ever watch that Biggest Loser reality show?
I haven't, but you can't escape the promos. They're all everywhere.
I'm thinking that what those guys do before they weigh in is they just got to – they probably sit in a sauna as well and kill some water weight.
But if you're trying to lose real weight, that's a really bad idea because you're just going to put it right back on. Your body just retains everything after that.
Yeah. Obviously, Fightcasters, wrestling, a big part of MMA. Rulon Gardner, you're familiar with him?
Yes.
Beat the Russian, right, to win gold. A hero. He was on The Biggest Loser.
I read about that, actually.
He ballooned up to like 400-plus bills, and then they got one show where they catch him in his room eating a bag of potato chips. And you're like, what are you doing? They got cameras all over, and he's just sitting there like there's nothing, hammering them home.
We just need a weekly segment where Ray Brewer gives us the rundown on a reality TV show of his choice, because it was Dancing with the Stars last week, and this week it's The Biggest Loser.
Listen, God bless America. Bin Laden dead, right?
Correct.
My wife and I, every week, we watch America's Next Great Restaurant. We're going to California next week. I've told you. I won't be here. Part of the reason we're going to California is to eat at this restaurant. So it was down to the final three last night, a place called Brooklyn Meatball Company, an Indian place, and the place that won, Soul Daddy, which is kind of like a...
soul food, right?
Soul food, yeah. So we're all geared up to watch it. Bam, Obama's talking. No dice. So it, thank God we got the internet. We figured out who won, but you know, we were waiting to see the finale. Chicken and waffles. You ever had that?
Yes, I have.
How's that taste? Did you put the sauce on the chicken?
I think some people do. I try to kind of escape that, though. But there's a lot of places in Vegas that have chicken and waffles. It's kind of become like the
IHOP
capital.
IHOP has it now as well. Not that I'd want to watch it, eat it there.
Yeah, I wouldn't eat it there either.
But finishing off our UFC 129 coverage, Randy's gone, and I think, you know, he lost, and we talked about his loss, but nobody talked about Machida. Great win. What's next for him? I mean, he's an elite guy, right? I mean, he wins damn impressive, and I know that's what you got to do in the UFC. Not only do you got to win, you got to look sexy doing it.
Yeah, being that I've kind of had a one-dimensional mind over the last week and only thought about MMA, when I'm sitting on the plane coming back here, I'm wondering what's next for Machida, because I really don't know. Most of the other top light heavyweights already have their next fight set up. And I don't really know if there's anyone open for Machida to take right away. I think you might see him have to take like 6 months or so off, just because there's some other fights that need to happen to see kind of where the division stacks out. At 130, UFC 130, which is here in a couple weeks, there's a big fight between Rampage Jackson and Matt Hamill.
Is it my boy Brian Stann on that card?
Brian Stann is on that card, but USA. he is not a light heavyweight, though. Well, he's on that card.
He could be. He's a super light stud.
Also, I think we talked about this fight last week. At 134, there's Shogun Hua and Forrest Griffin. Those are two big fights to kind of show where the light heavyweight is right now, light heavyweight division. There's also John Jones is out for a few months with an injury. Phil Davis fighting Rashad Evans. So those are kind of the six other guys that are up there in the elite ranks with Machida, and I think we're going to have to see some of those fights play out before we see what's next for Lyoto the Dragon Machida.
The Dragon. Okay, closing thoughts, UFC 129. We covered all bases, you think?
Absolutely. We covered more than all bases. We went twice around the bases.
Yeah, I was looking today on the Sun website. I think our homepage case on LasVegasSun.com has maybe the most 20 recent stories for the sports landing page. How many of those do you think are Randy Couture based out of the last 20 posted on the site?
Quite a lot. I mean, we probably had about 20 pieces, if you count videos and everything, with just Couture. So if you like Randy Couture, LasVegasSun.com, it's all still there.
Yes, and while you're on the fighting part of our site, I guess you could, this week, Manny Pacquiao's in town. MGM, big fight, Manny taking on Sugar Shane Mosley. Everybody wants to see Manny Pacquiao. He's a politician. He's a superstar. He was on Jimmy Kimmel Live. He's got his own cologne. He's got his own T-shirts. He just released a CD. The guy hasn't lost in 13 fights. He's an 8-division champion. He's the man. The people in the Philippines, his native homeland, where he's a congressman, they like him more than the Americans like Michael Jordan. But I'll be honest with you. We're going to go to the fight on Saturday. Sugar Shane Mosley. Sugar Shane's he had a nice career. In like 1990 or 80 or whenever the hell he started, you know, he's 2-2-1 in his last five fights. He's 39 years old. He does have a big punch. I'll give him that. But and I told you this in the newsroom. Are you going to lay $2,000 to win $303 on Manny Pacquiao? I mean, this fight does nothing for me. It doesn't excite me. Everyone wants to see Manny fight Floyd. Let's get it on. Who cares about Sugar Shane? We know Manny's only got a few years left.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I'm excited for this fight just to go to a Pacquiao fight, which I've never been to. I think this will be your first too?
I've been to a few back in the
day. Okay, back
but
in the day.
Before Manny was Manny.
Well,
and not Manny Ramirez.
I am excited to see a Manny Pacquiao fight, but that's it. It's, you know, I don't think really Mosley does much for me. It's unfortunate that he has to be the biggest fight of the year, him fighting Pacquiao, because I think that Pacquiao's going to destroy him. We're going to talk about fighting because that's what this whole thing is about, but I got to just say, the thing I'm looking forward to, too, is this is the exact same Saturday that last year the Mayweather-Mosley fight was on last year at MGM. The vibe and the energy at the MGM on that Saturday is the best it will be all year. It's awesome. There's so many fight fans there. And then, you know, it coincides with another big sports event for this town, the Kentucky Derby. So you go stop by the sports book. There's like, it was the most packed I've ever seen a sports book last year, all the way in the back. Of course, we're not going to break down horse racing too much, but I'm going to tell you how to spend your Saturday. Go down to MGM Grand to take it all in. Stop into the sports book. I've got some inside info from the best horseman I know, whose name might sound familiar, Kip Kiefer, my father. He says that Mucho Macho Man is going to take this down, the Kentucky Derby.
What's the odds on Mucho Macho?
I don't know, but he's up there, but he's not the favorite. The only horse I could have named in the race coming into today was Uncle Mo, and he's going to be the favorite. And Ray Brewer, since this is Las Vegas,
I'd rather see Mucho Macho fight Pacquiao than...
Yeah, there you go. We are going to beat Uncle Mo. We're not going to put Uncle Mo, so go to the sports book and put in your Exacta box with Mucho Macho Man and Dialed In to finish. Dialed In's the other favorite. So do that, and then head over to the MGM Grand Garden Arena and kind of take in all the sights, all the celebrities. MGM Grand, just the place to be on Saturday.
It is, and here's another one of my beasts with boxing, which I actually, when I was maybe 10, 15 years ago, I liked boxing. I was like an enthusiast. I watched tapes and the whole nine yards. But there's just no up-and-coming, you know, there's a few, but not enough up-and-coming fighters. So it feels like boxing, like, recycles its past glory. You know, oh, let's bring Sugar Shane out for another fight. You know, and then in MMA, you know, we've got so many fighters. They only fight every 8 months. You know, and they're young, and they're energetic, and they're popular, and they put on good shows. And in boxing, it's like, Sugar Shane's 39. Let's put him in our fight of the year.
Yeah,
and that just... And I love boxing, and it breaks my heart because there's just not enough young and upcoming superstars who people want to see. There might be super, quote-unquote superstars, but nobody wants to see Sugar Shane.
Yeah, I mean, and he's definitely not young and up-and-coming. He's 39, like you said. Here's something I just learned today about Sugar Shane. Did you know he's fought in between the Mayweather and Pacquiao fight?
Yes.
He fought Mora to a draw at the Staples Center. He couldn't even beat this guy, and he's supposed to.
It was controversial, though.
It was okay.
He won. I to my story tomorrow.
Ah, there you go.
He won one card like 116-112. The other was 115-115, and then 116-114. So he thinks he should have won, but who cares? You're Sugar Shane. You were great, and you know, before people had cell phones, so you're gonna fight until you're 50. You know, Holyfield is fighting next week.
Yeah, I mean,
give me a break.
If you're gonna sell Mosley to me as a guy that's a legitimate threat to 8-time champion Manny Pacquiao, he better be able to beat Mora in a September card in L.A., which he couldn't. Yeah. So I mean, that's my only point. I just like everyone, just like you, it's been beaten to death. But everyone wants to see Mayweather Pacquiao. It's not gonna happen. And until then, as far as popularity. I mean, boxing is playing second fiddle at this point.
And here's the deal, though. The fight is sold out just because everybody wants to get a piece of Manny Pacquiao.
Yeah, I mean, Pacquiao, Mayweather, those are the only two names that matter. Am I right?
In my opinion. But we'll break down the fight a little bit. Here's the deal. Mosley hits hard. He's not as quick as he used to be. If he accidentally connects on Manny Pacquiao, he could win. Playing devil's advocate because I don't think it's going to happen. Manny Pacquiao, he's a congressman, he's a singer, he's making cologne, he's doing shoes, he's on this show, he's doing all this. When are you training to fight, dude? I know it's Sugar Shane, but could you get in the gym a little more? Now, everybody says he has been training, it's business as usual. I still think he's got to be a little bit distractive. Could he be in line for an upset? Maybe. Honest to God, maybe, Case, because, listen, you got a busy plate. I mean, imagine doing your regular job and then going home and promoting this and doing that and worried about this and meeting with politicians. The guy's been busy. And it is Sugar Shane.
Yeah.
I didn't sell you.
No, you didn't sell me. But, I mean, that's what everyone's trying to sell this fight, that he has a chance for the upset. I don't think so. I think that this fight doesn't even need to be sold like that. I think it needs to be sold as, how much longer are we going to be able to see Manny Pacquiao at the top of his game? What, 5 years maybe he has left? He's going to be really
awesome.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
said he's
going to
be
time...
done, though, in two. He's going to go be a politician. This is it.
Okay, yeah, so that's why you sell the fight, is that how many more times are you going to get to see Manny Pacquiao in Las Vegas? You don't have to tell me, you know, Shane Mosley is going to beat Manny Pacquiao, because that's not going to happen. But, I mean, it still is Manny Pacquiao, and I don't think Pacquiao's going to knock him out. I mean, Mosley's a bigger guy. Mosley's tough to finish. I think it's going to be a unanimous decision, but I think that ultimately you're going to see Pacquiao win most rounds. But maybe Mosley takes, you know, the first or the second. I remember when he fought Mayweather last year, he landed a huge punch on Mayweather, one of the hardest Mayweather's ever been hit. I think it was just a big right hook, if I remember right, in the second round. Maybe you see something like that, but I ultimately see Pacquiao getting a decision here.
Speaking of Pretty Boy Floyd, who's got a lot of court cases lined up, he's been in a little bit of trouble. I follow him on Twitter. Do you follow him on Twitter?
Who's that?
Pretty Boy Floyd.
Yeah, of course I follow him on Twitter. I mean, that's how we need this fight to happen. He needs to start losing some of those $50,000
bets. Well, that's what I'm thinking.
Up,
I was
going to
ask you. Pretty Boy Floyd, folks, his big thing is that he always posts on Twitter pictures of his winning tickets, NBA playoffs, always bets all the big fights. Is Pretty Boy Floyd betting the Manny Pacquiao Sugar Shane Mosley fight? And is he betting Pacquiao, a guy he openly mocks and wants a piece of?
Because
wouldn't it be sweet justice? Because when he fought Sugar Shane, I hate to cut you off, he made fun of Sugar Shane on that 24/7 thing nonstop. Is he going to bet Sugar Shane? And if Sugar Shane wins, is he going to have the ticket on Twitter?
That would be very interesting. I got to think his handlers are at least going to tell him, hey, you might want to not show your boxing tickets, even if you are betting them. I don't think he's going to bet it. If he did, I mean, look, the guy obviously knows a little bit about sports betting. I think he'd be smart enough to know not to lay minus 900 or whatever Pacquiao is right now on anyone. I hope if he's betting it, I want to mention the other bet out there, the over-under 11.5 rounds. Maybe he's going to bet that. I would bet the over 11.5 rounds. I think it's going to decision. You think there's any way it goes under? You think someone can finish?
Well, I don't know. I mean, can Manny finish? I mean, we know Sugar Shane can finish, but could he connect?
No.
I mean, maybe Manny just brutalizes him, and it's over with. We get a quick night.
I think Manny will brutalize him, but I think it's going to last the whole round, and maybe Mosley's face is going to kind of look like Cotto's did a couple years ago. You remember that? I mean, his face was just done. It kind of reminds
like a butcher.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw, but not to jump back on topic, but if you haven't seen that picture, you got to look at Mark Hominick's face from UFC 129. He had a hematoma the size of, like, the thing I used was two hockey pucks stacked on top of each other because we were in Canada. And he got to keep fighting. It was unbelievable. I've never seen a face like that. I had to look down as I couldn't look at the guy. I expect that to be what Shane Mosley's face looks like at the end of this fight. Although, you know, they do wear gloves that are a lot heavier. So.
How close were you? Were you, like, to Steve?
I honestly, in not trying to brag here or anything, I think I had the best seat in the house. I was 5 in on the front row. It was probably me to the window, which I don't know why we're talking like this because no one can see in here unless maybe if they're watching on KU and on the website.
On the website. They'd have to be listening first.
Here's another thing about the Mosley fight, why I'm excited is boxing, a lot of times, some of these boxing cards I've covered, there's this one big fight that everyone wants to see. You know, the Donaire fight. I guess that had a good one. But a lot of these fights, there's only one fight. There's some other good fights on this. Another huge name that's headlined a lot, Kelly Pavlik, is kind of making his comeback. I think they're kind of throwing him this this Lopez guy that he's going to beat easily. But
trying to get some wins back under his belt, post-rehab, hoping that one day he could present a good fight for him.
Exactly. And it's easy to say he's just going to roll over him, but it was just 2 years ago. This guy, like, he lost to Bernard Hopkins. I mean, that was a huge upset. So I'm kind of excited to see Pavlik. That's another big name. There's also another title fight I know on it, a super bantamweight bout.
Oh, those are always fun.
Yeah. So
212-pound guys.
So I'm looking forward to that. I think there's one guy that's a lot better, Wilfredo Vasquez, I think, is taking on Jorge Arce. He's a lot better. It's Puerto Rican versus Mexico, which is always kind of a big deal at these things. So that's one thing I think they have done right with this Mosley card. They've put some other fights so that everyone there doesn't just show up for the Pacquiao fight and then leaves. Or shows up just in time for that and nothing else.
Well, we'll see. I mean, I just don't... You could sell me on the undercard, which I'm fine with, but, I mean, is Jorge Arce... Oh, Jorge Arce is on the card. Whoa! Viva Mexico! Yeah! You know what I'm saying?
You're right. Hopefully. You're right. I'm just saying that... Since everyone wants to compare, you know, MMA and boxing, now what MMA does so good is they stack these cards with just tons of fights everyone wants to see. Boxing for years has had one fight anyone wants to see. Now at least they've got maybe combined 1.75, because people that are into boxing are going to want to see Pavlik fight. They are going to want to see the super bantamweights because, look, these little guys put on a show no matter what combat sport it is. I mean, the little guys go at it. They move quick. They hit hard.
I agree with you. I mean... I'm looking forward to it. Here's what I like about the fights. I like the pageantry. I like people getting dressed up. I like, you know, people watching. And I love the fact that it's at the MGM, because when you walk into the fight, people are coming out of Wet Republic.
Ooh. That would be why you love it.
Wow.
You know, it seems like, is Kim Kardashian there every weekend?
She has to.
We're kind of getting off topic, but
yeah,
it's Kim
totally.
Kardashian or Paris Hilton every
You know,
weekend.
Kim Kardashian has yet to fight a date an MMA fighter. Right? She dated Reggie Bush, Chris Humphreys from the Jets, the Nets. My favorite player, my favorite guy, Ray J, who's got an awesome reality love show.
Another
for the
reality
love of
show.
Ray J.
You will be happy to know this, though. I don't know if you know this. The next two UFC events in Las Vegas, UFC 130 and 132, both at the MGM. That's kind of different because usually they alternate between that and Mandalay. 132 will not be at Mandalay Bay because I think that same night there's a New Kids on the Block and Backstreet Boys concert.
Wow.
So next two UFC events in town at MGM, so you can get all your Wet Republic in that you want.
Wow, because, I was going to try to drop a little New Kids on the Block, but I don't know any of their music.
All right, well, I've given my prediction. You know, I think you're kind of beating around the bush. I like Mosley. Mosley to get a unanimous decision loss to Pacquiao. How do you see this one going?
I like Pacquiao in 7. Write it down, 7. And I had Couture on tap out. He got knocked out. LasVegasSun.com sports talk. Also on Las Vegas Sun website. For Steve, the great board up. For my man, Case Kiefer. See you next Monday. Head out on the highway, looking for adventure. And whatever comes our way. Yeah.